God has something to speak to you today from His Word, and I hope you're going to listen to it closely today. If you have your Bible, if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Now, as you're turning to that passage, let's remind ourselves of our key verse for this series. The time has come. Now is the time for God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Today, God's interested in now. You know, when tomorrow gets here, what is it? It's today. It's today. You can never live tomorrow, and you can't live yesterday. You live today. Today. Now. Now is the time. Now, our verse that we're going to pick out for the message today, we're going to read several others, but it's found in Matthew 6:33. But seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Title of today's message is, It's Time to Live the Life. It's time to live the life. Here are a few questions I want to ask you as we begin today. First question. Are you presently living the life that you've always wanted? Are you living it out? The life you dreamed about, or the life you heard about, the life that you thought could be possible. I'm not asking you, please understand, I'm not asking you if you've acquired all the stuff that you intended to acquire earlier in life. Because what happens to stuff? It goes away. No trailer hitches on those hearses when they're headed out to the cemetery. Second question. Now, this is an odd question you may think. Arrival of a new year? Yes. Right now is a bigger time of new year for us as a society than January 1. You know why? School's starting back. It's turned everything on its head around Savannah, Georgia. Traffic. Now, the private schools, most of them parochial schools, have started back here. Public school is going to start back. Everything's happening. I mean, we even had a tax holiday in regard to that. It changes everything. Changes everything. So with the arrival of New Year, do you expect that your life is going to be different? Is anything going to be different about it? All right? Third question. Now, I know you're feeling like I've tricked you with these questions so far. What have you changed in your life that would warrant such a difference that you just thought in answer to question number two that you thought you were going to have? Have you changed anything? Ultimate insanity is to think that anything's going to be different if something hasn't changed. And we're usually waiting on something to change out there. And where does God do His best work? In here. Change everything out there. It's kind of like the hundreds of couples, probably thousands by now, yes, definitely thousands, of couples that have come to me over the years, and one will say, essentially, in session, they say, preacher, I want you to fix my spouse. If you can fix them, everything will be okay, right? Can I get a witness on that? Anybody agree with that? Yeah, that always, that's the way we all think. I tricked you again, Gary. And Lynn got you on video. Okay. Fourth question. Are you tired of just talking about a different life? Or do you really want to have a different life than what you're living? Now, I know that today I'm speaking to essentially two groups of people. One, there are probably several of you in here today who have never given your heart and life completely to Jesus Christ. And I'm glad you're here checking it out. Maybe you've been around church all your life. Maybe that you know a lot of church words. Maybe you've even been a member of a church. You joined a church, but that's not the question. Have you joined Jesus? Have you allowed Him to come into your life? That's first group. Second group is a group of Christians who actually have Jesus living in their lives. And God's wanting you to experience a little dab of heaven on this earth before you actually get there. Because your life in Christ started not when you die, but when Jesus actually came into your life. Because then, you know, then you can look at death, physical death. That's just, there's nothing to that for the believer. Because you know you're in the arms of Jesus. Now, did Jesus have anything to say about living the life? Of course He did. We're going to go right to the Sermon on the Mount. In chapter 6 in Matthew, if you have your Bible, I'm going to turn to verse 25 and begin reading there. You'll remember this passage. It's great. So I tell you, don't worry about everyday life. Stop. If we did that this week, how would that change your home, your business? It would radically change it. Don't worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food, drink, clothes, doesn't life consist of more than food and clothing? Look at the birds. They don't need to plant or harvest or put food in barns because your heavenly Father feeds them, and you are far more valuable to Him than they are. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Corollary question. Can all your worries take away moments from your life? I know some of you have told that to your kids this week. You're shortening my life. Verse 28. Why worry about your clothes? Look at the lilies, how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they. He picks out Solomon because there probably never has been or never will be a kingly reign on the earth until Jesus comes that would match the majesty and elegance and just the abundance of that reign. And I know history has not treated. History would tell you it was Louis XIV and Versailles and, you know, the Louvre and all that in France, that was probably the greatest kingly reign on. Not so. Not so. It was Solomon. So much wealth, you couldn't even imagine. And so when Jesus uses this illustration, He wasn't just using a Jewish pejorative. No, sir. He was using an illustration that here's the top notch of anything that man can imagine about how you could be clothed and fed and everything else. And God tops that with His lowliest creatures. Got the picture? Verse 30. If God cares so wonderfully for flowers, they're here today and gone tomorrow. Won't He more surely care for you? You have so little faith. So don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. Why be like the pagans who are so deeply concerned about these things? Your heavenly Father already knows all of your needs. Do you believe that? That He already knows? And He will give you all that you need from day to day if you live for Him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Let's pray. God, as we read through this passage again, that one that many of us in this room have read so many times in our lives, I know You've spoken to us through Your Word. Now, Lord, I'm praying, Holy Spirit of God, that You'll come and do Your Velcro thing with Your truth, that it will stick to our hearts today. Lord, I give You my words. The words that I say today, Lord, that are of You, let them stick, and the rest of them, let them fall and never be thought of again. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. So let's look at our first point. Jesus gives the life, but we must live the life. Right? That's a cute little saying, isn't it? Jesus gives the life. We've got to live the life. Sounds like a song. But it's just like someone giving us a gift and then we never use it. My brother gave me a gift years ago. And then probably about 2 years ago, he found out through someone else that I had never used this gift. He gave me a bowling ball. And when we were moving and throwing out stuff, I got this bowling ball out. And it's still in the little cardboard package. Beautiful bowling ball. Beautiful bowling ball. Only one problem with it. It's kind of hard to grip it if it's never had holes drilled in it. So I couldn't even lie about the fact that, I've used it, I've just kept it up real, real well. It never had the holes. It was nice for its potential, but it never got used. It's kind of like having money in your pocket, and there's a restaurant and you're starving to death. You see, Jesus gives us life and He wants us to live it. But to live it means you've got to receive it and walk in it and enjoy the life He has given. And that gets back to another thing that we've got about Jesus. There's a lot of error out there about the life of Christ. People think it's that He's trying to rain on our parade. Because they look at some of His strictures that He has about things that He says to stay away from. And the world says, oh, look at all those don'ts about Christianity. Bam, look at all the blessings that come of a life lived in Christ. You can't match it. He gives us life. So we need to live it. Start choosing that. Secondly. For us to start living this life, there are going to have to be some structural changes in our lives. We're going to have to start at the base level. Insanity, as we said before, is doing the same thing over and over again and thinking you're going to have a different result. Instead of saying one thing and doing another, why don't we let this and these go together? So that what we say and what we do matches. So it's put together. It's a large problem that the church in America has because there's a disconnect between what we say and then what we do. Instead of keeping our distance, another structural change here, instead of keeping our distance from God, we need to wade into Him and soak up everything that he had. Go into the deep water with him. Essential. Or like another friend of mine says all the time, take that nasty plunge. Just get everything. And instead of trying to order our lives the way we think they ought to go, start living our lives the way Christ orders them. That means we've got to learn to listen to him. Third thing, we must seek his kingdom first as we live the life. God has a plan for all people for all time. Do you believe that? Do you believe that he has a plan for your life, that from an infinite past, he looked forward and he said, I have a plan for Dusty's life. I have a plan for your life. He wants us to walk in. Note that Jesus says in that scripture that we read a moment ago, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Seek first. First indicates that there's a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth down the line. But you seek him first, and then what happens to the other things? They fall in line. They fall in line. We get caught up in the things of the world when he's called us to seek his kingdom first, to seek him above all else, first and foremost. Now, what does this mean to seek his kingdom first? It means we've got to have a change in our vision. Change the way we look at things. Whose eyes are we seeing them through? You know, look at your own life. There have been points in your life where someone could have looked at you and said, nothing. Aren't you glad God didn't see you that way? That when he sees you, he sees the potential in you. He sees the reason for which he created you. That he had a plan for you, a plan for your life. That there are no throwaway lives. That's why we as Christians have such a strong stand on the sanctity of life. That's why we believe every human being is valuable. And that goes back to when they're conceived. Because God breathes into that and man becomes a living soul. It also means we've got to have a change of values. We talked a lot about values last week. What are the things that are valuable to you? What are your values? What are the things that you're willing to die for? Let me ask a more basic question. Where do you spend your time? Where do you spend your money? There you go. There are your values. It's time for a change. Do you feel in our country a slipping away of values today? Can you see the erosion? The erosion in just the basic institutions of life. And when did it start? Well, it's been going on for quite a while, hasn't it? We want to hang it on this or hang it on that, you know. Oh, it's all because of the politics of this or politics of that. You can argue about that till the cows come home. I want you to know we can see that changing over years, no matter what your political persuasion. But see, God's called us to be salt and light. He's called us to live out a changed life and those changed values to change the people around us. We're three under that. It means we've got to have a change of heart. Basic to our physical bodies is a healthy heart. got to have a healthy heart. This is the center of who we are. That's why in the Scripture it's shown as that spiritual illustration of the heart of a man. God wants to change our heart. Change our motivation. Let God do what God can do. Okay? Next thing, John. He also talked, Jesus talked about seeking His righteousness. His kingdom and His righteousness first. Not only did Jesus say, seek the kingdom first, He also said, seek His righteousness first. And that means action. That means that, like we said before, what we do has to go along with what we say. First of all, it means we've got to spend time daily with God. How much time does CNN or ABC or Fox News, how much time do they get with us daily to pour that into you? Pour that into you. My question is, how much time do we spend with God? Spend His Word, spend praying. Getting a time alone with God. Now, I'm not talking, please hear me today. I know some of you are thinking, oh, he's going to get the super spiritual now, and we've got to read the Word 5 hours a day. And all. Take a passage. And I know if we did an honest survey here, there would probably be many of us in this room that never cracked the Bible during the week, never opened it up. Why not? It's the Word of God. I'm not here for a guilt trip. What I'm saying is, it's a power-packed book of life. And He's calling on us to open it up on a daily basis. Spend a few minutes reading. If you just want to read a few verses. And then meditate on them. Let God speak to you. Let me make a guarantee to you. If you open that book and read it in the morning, I guarantee you that by the end of the day, the truth that came out of that passage that you read that morning, you will see acted out in your day. I guarantee that. That's not based on me. That's based on God. And that's based on this book that's just full of life, and He wants us to live the life, and He's given us directions on how to do it. And pray. Ask Him. Ask Him. God, I need Your help. I need You to come in this. Praise His name. Thank Him for what He did, how He answered you yesterday. I was there. And if you're wondering about whether or not he's hearing you, just ask Him to reveal Himself. Just ask Him. Dane and I were praying about something back first of the week. We'd been praying about it, and we were wondering, Lord, you know, as we're going back and forth with this, And in the middle of our time of discussion, my phone rings. I'm thinking, man, I don't need to be bothered right now with a phone call. Dane and I are talking about something that is real important. But I answered it anyway. As a friend of mine who lives in Europe, and he called me. You know why he called me? He said, because God told me to call you right now, and He needed me to pray with you right now because you're going through something right now. Isn't that cool? See, God's not bound by time zones, is He? He can speak clearly, plainly, rifle shots, right to where you are. The problem isn't in God speaking, because He is speaking to you. The problem is, are we listening? Teach me to listen better, Lord. All right. We need to live in community with other Christians. We just can't. We can't do without one another. We need one another. We need the whole body. Just like Paul has us pictured. If we're going to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, we need other people that are going to pour into our lives. People that we're accountable to. People that know us and can love us and walk through life with us. Who can be there. Who can be the hands and feet of Jesus to us. The physical body of Christ. That's His church on this earth. And whatever expression it is, if it's in a large group like this, or if it's in one of our life groups, we call them life groups because it's living life together, or if it's in a one-on-one or a group of three, it's the body of Christ. It's community. You see, God showed us what living in community is through the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And He's counting on us to live in community too. That's where He will speak to us. Even the secular world would say no man is an island. We need one another. What happens when you section yourself off, seal yourself off from others in your life? What happens? Is that healthy? Is it healthy? No, it's not. But no, He wants us to be in connection with His body. Yes, there are probably some people you do need to be sealed off from who bring out the worst in you. All right, it means gathering. If we're going to seek His righteousness, it means gathering for worship with the church, gathering in large group and small group. Most of us have in the back of our mind that this gathering on a Sunday, and I really believe this when I say I'm not just spouting off here today, we believe this time is optional. Most of us in our heart of hearts believe this is optional. Let me tell you what. Until you get to the place in your life where you see this as I have to. It's a get to. There you go. We're going to miss out on something. Kind of like our kids, all three of them, growing up, when they would hear Audrey and I about to talk about something, you know, you'd see them kind of drifting in, and you see their ears get larger. And we have a code word. We call it big ears, big ears, big ears. See, that's the way we need to be about our time with God. Let me tell you, He's jealous about the time with you. He puts aside the time to spend with you and me. It means we've got to start taking responsibility for our Christian growth. Us taking responsibility, our own responsibility to grow up in Christ. If we're going to seek His kingdom and His righteousness, and not just depend on autopilot for someone else to do it for us. Well, preacher, I just plugged in the CDs, you know, or the iPod. Now, those are all good things. Listen to others. But you've got to take responsibility for you, right? It also means choosing to act differently under God's power. Instead of saying about a lot of things, I can't, follow it up by saying, but through God's power, I can. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Then what does He say? And all these things shall be added unto you as well. So, here's some action steps for today. Don't put off a blessing one more day. Remember, now's the time. Today is the day. now, act today. Two, you need to make a decision about it today. Whew, man. Put off, procrastinate. God wants us to make the decision today. Choose this day. And third, got to trust God to deliver all that He's promised to you. All these things will be given to you as well. We spend most of our day worrying about the stuff. And what does God say? You seek me first, and I'll take care of the stuff. In just a moment, we're going to pray. Now, tell you what, one of my prayers is today that God's going to take the worry about the stuff from us. I'm going to pray that prayer that He's going to lift that worry from us today. And then in the place of the time that we spent worrying about that, that He's going to give us a desire for Him and for His presence and for His power. Can God do it? What do you have in your hand that is not a gift from God? What ability do you possess? What intelligence do you have? What opportunity did you have in the past? What parents did you have? What DNA is there running through you today that is all not a gift from God? Let's pray. Lord, today now as we open the altar, we call on You and Your resources. We're asking You to come with Your power. Now, Lord, we want to live the life that You've called us to live as the body of Jesus. The delightful body, as Terry reminded us earlier. I'm asking You to come now. Lord, all the worries that are in this room right now, God, and if I allowed myself to take them on right now, I couldn't even stand up. Because, Lord, none of us can stand up under the worry of carrying it all on our own. Today, Jesus, we want to lay those worries at Your feet. And we want You to come, just like you take care of the birds of the air and you clothe the flowers of the field, we're asking You to come and meet our needs in that way. But first, Lord, we seek You. Not Your hand. And God, some of us get that backwards. We're not seeking Your hand first. We're seeking Your face. Not what You can do first, but who You are. Come, Lord Jesus. Come now. Come to us. We love You. Thank You for Your presence here today. Dane prophesied it accurately. God, You want to do some great things here today. We give You this time now as we open the altar. If our life group leaders would take their places, Pastor, the altar is open. Come. Look this way, if you will. Now, right out those doors, the evil one is going to be there with that cement suit of your troubles and anxieties, ready to help you put it back on. Don't take his help. I love those commercials, you know, where the roaches are trying to get in the people's house, pest control commercial, coming all those disguises and all. That's a great illustration of what the of what the devil does. Kind of like the old Saturday Night Live land shark thing. That's another buzz for a few of you. Don't put it on, okay? Don't put it on today. Walk in the freedom of seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness, and count on Him that He's going to take care of all those other things. Go in Jesus' name.